O God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. Those of you that have heard me preach before know that I like to bring my family and especially my brothers into the conversation. And the reason I do that is as we think about the scripture, the gospel lesson, and what it teaches us, I would like to reflect on the history, how I grew up, reflect on today, and then reflect and how is that going to change me in the future. And even though this is the Sermon on the Mount is very, it's tough to teach and preach on. It takes a lot of time. You want to spend more time than that's allowed in the 30 minutes I'm going to preach today. No. But it's important to try to relate that. So as I go through the homily, and as you think about and reflect on the gospel, think of it more where enemy is not like an enemy to the United States or sin or a law that was broken against society, but something very personal to you. When I grew up with my three brothers that are a year apart, we did almost the eye for the eye type of thing. If I poked you and you poked me back twice, I'm poking you again because it's not fair. If I snapped you at the towel, even though I started it, the oldest, then you snapped me back twice. Nope, not fair. I'm doing it again. And my mom had to put up with this stuff. And so I know she's going to get jewels in heaven and all these things because she had to put up with three boys a year apart, and this is how we acted. We acted up. They're looking at me. Stop looking at me. You're touching me. Quit touching me. You looked at me first. Well, I touched you because your leg was on my leg. No, it wasn't. And that was the bickering on our ride to town. And my mom would say, shut up or I'm going to backhand all of you. And the little brother sitting there goes, I'm not in this. As we got older, because both parents worked, we had to figure out clever ways to solve our differences. And because we're an adult, we're young men at 15, 16, 17, or 14, 15, 16, we could do some damage probably. So we came up with this thing. I came up with it, but we came up with this thing. So you had the dining room table. You move all the chairs away from it. You take a tea towel, which they're only that big. I don't know if kids know what tea towels are now. They're only this long. You wet the end because it is frayed. And then you take, the boys would take the shirts off, and then we would snap each other, reaching across the table. And you had to keep the table between you. So you're going around the table and you're snapping each other until somebody gives. That's how we solved our differences. At the time, I'm the oldest with the tallest and the longest reach, so I won every time. Now I'm the shortest and they're all taller than me, so we don't play this game anymore. And it was, well, you snapped me twice. That doesn't mean you won. Yes, it does. You gave up. And so if you think about that and think about the eye for the eye and the tooth for the tooth and all of those types of things, the law that we had put in place in our house amongst the boys, and equate that to the gospel lesson, it kind of almost is, there's some similarities there. And we were raised, my dad was Mennonite, so we were kind of passive, supposed to be. Anyway, that's not really how we were. Jesus refers to Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy in his gospel lesson today. When he talks about the ancient law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, if somebody sues you, he says, give them your cloak too, give them more. If somebody hits you on your right cheek, turn your other cheek. If we think of that in our relationship with one another, even if we're in remembering our high school days, if we were bullied at all, it becomes real. This becomes more personal than if we always looked at the gospel lesson and said, our enemies are over there. The enemy is shielded from me. I'll pray for the sinner and hate the sin. Now, when it's brought into us this close, it becomes different, doesn't it? It becomes more personal. Now, what are we to do? If you think about Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy and those laws that were put out, those laws were kind of to keep things balanced and even. It wasn't that, you know, if I poked you in the eye, you get both of my eyes. Is they get to poke me in the eye. I mean, I know I'm talking about symbolism, but that's the way it was. And you couldn't take more than what was owed to you if you were wronged. That was the reason for that law, to level the playing field. Jesus comes along and really messes it up a little bit. And he's not trying to say that it's not important what has happened to you, but there's bigger things that are more important that's about to come. Remember, Jesus is given the Sermon on the Mount right before the Passover. So as we're coming into Lent, this is a good time to think about this and what was really going on. And he is fulfilling his ministry on earth, and he's coming to the close. And he's saying, I'm changing the law, is what he's saying. Things are now changing. They're about to get really, really different because there's something very, very big that you need to consider and hang on to. As I was preparing for this homily, I was listening to a preacher, and I only caught part of it, so I can't give you his name. It was on the radio, and he was preaching about the glory of God. We're put here to worship God because God is so much bigger than these things that we deal with every day. These little minutiae that we get hung up on every day. God is so much bigger than that. The New English Version of the Bible even struggles with trying to interpret God as we know God being so big. And in some cases in the Old Testament, it refers to God as plural only because there's not a good English word to reference how big God is. So if you think of this big God and who we are in that picture, he has that plan for us that's so much bigger than what earthly things that we're dealing with every day. Jesus is sent because he is our eternal life. He is the bread for eternal life. And that is going to keep us going from earthly things that is very temporal to foreverness, to forever. And he is that bread that gives us. And it gives us that life for eternity. And it's so much bigger. If we get hung up on the little laws, who snapped who first, who poked who first, whose legs touching who, or even if it's more harsh than that, maybe bully in school, we will always be hung up on those things. They're big at the time they happen, I assure you. They're not molehills. They're really mountains. They're things that really impact our lives and impact who we are in some cases. But we have to remember there's something very big for us. And Jesus Christ is that brings that something big. Now, how do we deal with that? So now I've set the stage of, okay, this is the problem and this is where we need to be, but how do we get there? And the how we get there is defined in our relationship with Christ every day. Last week, Father Ben asked us a question, and he referred to the baptismal covenant. How do we resist evil? We resist evil with God's help. How do we protect the dignity of all humankind and all mankind? We do that through God's help. And that's our baptismal covenant. Because at the end of this gospel, it says we are to live perfect as your Father is perfect. That is a big, tall order. But we can't do it alone. We have to have God's help. And that's where we find that in our baptismal covenant that Father Ben brought and preached on last week. When we do that, what we're doing is putting God right here with us in that relationship with that bully or with that problem or with whatever it is that's going on, but we're bringing God into that relationship, and that's how we get through it. That's how we are charged to live perfect. We can't do it alone. And God loves us so much that His Son was sent for us to be in that relationship with that love. Not only with Jesus Christ and God and through Jesus Christ, but one another through Jesus Christ. That is the what is so bigger. John, who wrote in the Revelation, in Revelations, tried to explain the glory of God. And it's hard to read that dream and interpret that in our own minds. And it's so much bigger than what we deal with today. And we don't want to get hung up on those little things. The way to do it is to bring Christ into that relationship and not worry about whose leg is touching who snapped who more times, and who's poking whom. That's what we're charged with. A week from Wednesday, we start Ash Wednesday. We begin Lent. This is a good piece of scripture to hold on to through Lent as we wrestle with our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ, who He is in our lives, and what He comes to give us, and how He changes the laws from the Old Testament. Hold on to this piece of scripture. Hold on to the charge that Christ gives us to live perfect as our Father is perfect as we move through Lent in the next few weeks. And love one another through Christ. Amen.